Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me today in the studio is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp. I'm back.
God, there it is.
Still doing it. All right, on today's show, we're going to be talking about Osiris, and we're going to be talking about a lot of the patches coming to Destiny 2. First, let's go over some of the news. So the biggest news on Destiny this week is that the first DLC, Curse of Osiris, is arriving on December 5th on all platforms. In the trailer, we meet Osiris, a renegade guardian who broke off from the vanguards at the tower. His protege, Ikora, will send you on a mission to find him. That will take you to the Infinite Forest, a new Mercury patrol area you can explore. In the footage, we see that Jade Rabbit is back, there's new gear to acquire, and after looking at all the coverage, there are a few more details available. The level cap, for example, will increase to 25 with power going up to 330 or 335 with mods. Minor spoiler warning here, but Sagira, voiced by Homeland's Mariana Baccarin, will appear as a ghost that was separated from Osiris, and the content promises a new quest, missions, strikes, adventures, and new raid content? We're not sure what that means just yet. In regular Destiny 2 news, faction rallies are coming back from November 7th to 13th. They've passed out the farming methods for lost sectors, but you can run them with a teammate for 3 tokens once they're completed. In addition, tokens were increased for strikes, and your first nightfall run per character, while public events were decreased to 5 tokens from 8. This time around, New Monarchy's premier reward will be a sword, Future War Cult will have a fusion rifle, and Dead Orbit will offer up a grenade launcher. Please pick New Monarchy this time. Now, let's talk about all that news. So, first up, Mariana Baccarin is a really hard name to say.
Yeah.
Second up, how do you guys feel about the Osiris content? That's the first thing I kind of wanted to cover off on the show. So, we saw the trailer. There's actually a PvP trailer that only went out to, like, the UK press for some reason, which we'll have as B-roll in this episode. What do you guys think about it? CJ, we'll start with you. Did it do anything for you?
Yeah, there's a selfie emote, which I'm going to be using all the time.
It's great.
There's no other emote that I think I've been excited about besides the selfie emote. Telesto, Jade Rabbit, those are weird seeing those back so soon. We talked about Maya to get
Telesto
into the equation. Yeah, but it's like I'm excited at least they're bringing back some exotics and they're not renaming them. Like sometimes they're renaming things, and I actually like that they're just bringing back the weapons currently named what they were in Destiny 1.
Wait, how do you know they're not renamed? Do they confirm that they're...
Well, Maida's not renamed.
Yeah.
I mean, they're renaming a lot of the armor.
I thought they confirmed Jade Rabbit or so. They didn't actually confirm it, right?
Well, you see them in the visuals.
It's obviously it. But I just didn't know if they admitted that was them.
They're changing a lot of the armor's names, and they're just tweaking the perks. But for the most part, I would assume that the weapons are going to be named the same. So, but yeah, excited about that, and the PvP map looks pretty cool.
So you're diving into sort of the extra stuff. What about the core narrative piece?
Yeah, I mean, just seeing Osiris, you know, in the trailer there being a bit of a ninja, I will say, as he swoops around and...
if you will.
Yeah, and casting Dawnblade there and taking out some of the Vex. Yeah, it looks really neat. And obviously that story, hopefully maybe going back to the lighthouse, all those little details. Seeing that in trailer as well was pretty neat.
It's interesting. I mean, we know that his ghost is separated from him in the storyline. We know that he was sort of the rebel of the tower.
Yep.
He kind of was like, hey, like, I don't necessarily believe in all your teachings and everything. And he actually created a rift.
Yeah.
Among everybody, the vanguards, and he kind of made his own group and separated.
Yeah, we don't know that we can trust him.
Yeah.
You know, similar to how we dealt with Eris for quite some time, asking that question. I think now the question is on Osiris's shoulders.
Yeah.
This name that we've heard a long time, and Ikora's, you know, mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're excited by that, but then she's like, he kind of was not totally trustworthy.
Yeah. Bit of a rogue agent.
And the core message is, right, they say, they don't see you coming. Go to Mercury and find Osiris.
Yeah.
So I think we get a pretty good idea of the setup that you have to go and hunt him down. Then what happens? Do we go to a new raid? Or I think that's the big question.
Yeah, we'll talk about the raid next. Sean, what did you think? And welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be back. Had a few weeks out there where I was just super busy, but all I really want to do is talk Destiny. So
you're awesome. In the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really excited by this DLC. Legendary Guardians for me are kind of like one of the big pulls of the lore. Like, I think that's the coolest thing, is learning about Praedith and Osiris and all of these Guardians of old, and like Lord Saladin and stuff. So if this story stuff is really robust and we get to learn a lot more about the character and kind of work alongside him, and man, if the story is awesome, like, that would be everything I want from a DLC right now in the game. So I'm very excited about it.
And it's the right time. It felt like with all the rest
December,
of the stuff, you know, with the, you know, the updates and everything. Looking back last week, between that weekly update, not the one that's today or yesterday, but a week ago, these things needed to happen. I think the community was getting a little patient.
Yeah. Literally the last few episodes, I think I kept saying that. I was like, well, this is what we're saying now, and then we're going to get a look at that next trailer. And then finally we are here. I think we are all excited. I mean, it's actual content.
Yeah.
Biggest question is it enough content? I mean, let's that is the biggest question.
Yeah. Let's talk. What's with the weird raid tease? Why don't they just say there's a new raid? They're saying new raid content.
Where did it actually say that, by the
way? On the website.
Yeah.
I looked on the website.
The Activision blog, and there was on the DestinyTheGame.com website where it says new raid content.
I looked on the actual, I couldn't find it, but obviously
the new raid activity.
Everybody was talking
about it. What
was
on Reddit? But yeah, it's been just sort of vague.
New raid content, right, is what it says.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's been quoted a few different ways, but on the website, it was vague. It didn't just say the new raid.
Exactly. That's what you say. It's not new raid. It's new raid content. I think that's a very bad sign.
Yeah, we're all smart enough to recognize PR speak now. And I'm like, there's no raid in this content, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could be leaving it open for that surprise and delight, that mystery.
Could be.
It could be a trick.
Yeah.
It could also just be, we kind of added some stuff to raids. Now, people are even bringing up, though, because this has to deal with the Vex and time gates and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, we getting like a remastering of – I don't think that's going to be
it. The Vault of Glass. Yeah. That would be cool.
It could happen, but that could be new raid content because it's not a new raid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know.
That would be interesting if that's the dilemma they're running into, that they're remastering the old raids. Like, they don't want to give that away, but they do want to tell you that there's going to be new raid content.
Like,
and because, the Vex deal with time, that's a really good point. We could have all the old raids come back at once.
So
I think they'd space it out, but yeah.
And that's some of the reason why I was not upset, but when they announced Destiny 2, I was like, oh, I love all those raids. I wanted to be able to play them again and have the story continue within that space. So new raid content as old raids would be fine with me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, right now.
Well, you were really upset when they brought back the PvP map that was from Destiny 1. You're like, oh, it looks so much worse
because
you're crazy.
You said
that, though. So how come you're okay with the raid but not with PvP maps?
I'm excited that they bring back. No, stop it. I'm excited when they bring back old things. Just sometimes it's depending on the changes they implement in it. You know, you get a little bit tied into certain
things. You know, depending on what you have for breakfast.
I am not upset when they bring back older content as new, but it does take a little bit to get used to.
I mean, I am a little bit, because like, I'd rather just have new content, new good content. Like, this is a sequel, right? Like, why are we retreading old ground? That said, like, I mean, I don't mind the idea of them bringing back like a remastered Vault of Glass or like iterations on older maps. That's cool. Like, Halo's done that a lot in the past, and I don't mind that at all. Like, as long as the maps are good, more content is more content. But I do think like it begs a little bit of the question, because like, by the end of Destiny 1, we had a lot of stuff that was in the game that we really liked, mm-hmm. private matches and such, that aren't in Destiny 2. And you got to wonder, like, at what point are they like, well, we can just bring back, like, we can just mine the old library of Destiny 1 content, you know, as opposed to coming up with new stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think, yeah, what you would ideally do is both, you know, because you get new, fresh, awesome content, and we get to go relive some of this old stuff if you want to as an additional thing. But if it is a crutch, I think that's definitely the concern. Of course, we don't know if any of that's going to be in the expansion, but
in a perfect world, right, like – Curse of Osiris comes out and it is a really robust like new campaign, new like planet to explore, mm-hmm. new sort of like mm-hmm. a bunch of new quests, like a Taken King style expansion is what I'm really yeah. I say it all the time, and I don't think it'll be that so, big, but
yeah. But maybe it is just Burning Shrine and Vault of Glass, and that's where we're at with this.
Oh, well, so there was we're only
I have another piece
this.
Of info for you
we're
guys.
Only speculating this because of the way it's worded, which is
yeah. yeah, yeah.
Well, I do have another piece of info for you guys. We do know Brother Vance is back. We saw him in the trailer, mm-hmm. for example.
Yeah, he's in that pre-desolated lighthouse shot.
Yeah, and then Ikora is your guide through the Infinite Forest, which is described as a simulated reality in the middle of time controlled by the Vex. So, I mean, to me, that says there's a big potential that we are going to go back to Vault of Glass. Plus,
it's the Caverns of Time, man.
Plus,
World of Warcraft reference. Boom!
Shh. Too Ding. Early. Yeah, he's Ding. Back. Yeah, 5 minutes in.
Yeah. I totally lost my train of thought now. Just,
that Korra leads you through the Infinite Forest.
We see in the trailer that he's fighting the Vex, actually, and there's a bunch of Guardians frozen in time mm-hmm. behind him. And I believe some people thought that might have been the Vault, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it had the look. So, but we've also seen that there, you know, there was that strike in, was it Taken King or – I don't even remember now, Rise, or when you went through part of the Vault of Glass as part of the strike, mm-hmm. you know. So maybe they'll right. take us through parts. Okay. That doesn't mean that the raid is coming back necessarily. Yeah. So it could be anything.
I am stoked on the Vex being like the new primary antagonist in this sort of like
bringing
expansion.
It all back.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like I've always just thought the Vex were the coolest enemy of all the sort of like four or five different type enemy types that we have, like time-traveling, hive-minded robots. It's, like, so cool.
Yeah. Oh, I don't go for headshots. I go for stomach shots. It's so surprised. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I like the Vex, though. I agree.
From a lore perspective, they sound really cool, you know? Mm-hmm. The Fallen, like, whatever.
And the sound, like, their sounds, their weaponry is really
I like
cool.
them. Yeah. I'm just joking.
We've seen too much of the Fallen. It's, like, even the last raid.
I mean, like, I'd argue we'd probably see more of the Vex than anything, mm-hmm. but, like, still, they're just so cool.
I hate the Fallen Death. I hate the scurry ones.
Oh, my goodness. The new ones that are,
like, yeah. I'm also, like, just let me kill you. You're a red bar. Get out of the way.
Yeah, they're really annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was very excited to see Brother Vance. Yes. Now he suddenly sort of disappeared and it's all desolate, which I was like, wait, is Trials coming back in prior form
Trials?
Or not? I don't know if that's on the agenda to talk about or not.
It better be.
Well, we do know that Trials is back for the first time. Some of the adjustments that they made, by the way, in Destiny 1 were that they made Supremacy now grant you a point just for defeating an
enemy. Oh, you're talking about new Crucible stuff.
Yeah. So
I was saying classic Trials, though.
Oh, okay.
So let me see if I could touch on that for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Seeing Brother Vance, and we've been talking about it a lot. I didn't think proper Trials was going to sort of hit for a while until the Osiris expansion, but then they came out with Trials of Nine, and I got confused.
Yeah.
But I think I still have that hope that maybe we have a classic 3v3
elimination,
a lighthouse something.
I would like that a lot.
So I think potentially it's – I mean, they showed Brother Vance. That's quite the tease to make.
Yeah.
When you think about it, like why – he didn't have to be there standing at the lighthouse. They intentionally did it. It wasn't Osiris, and then they introduced Osiris. So but I feel like that's a tease.
Could just be a campaign thing, though, as well.
And it could very well be just, talking to Brother Vance at this house. Yeah. But think about the implications.
No,
you connect them. It's like seeing Shaq somewhere. Like, it could just be a story, but isn't it Crucible related?
Yeah, we got to look at the new PvP map also, but it doesn't look like it's Trials.
I have confidence the map they bring back will be Burning Shrine.
That would be fantastic.
They will probably have a new map, and they will bring back Burning Shrine. Totally.
So that's what I tweeted out. There's a shot in there that looked very Burning Shrine-esque.
Yeah.
And I was like, please let that be some kind of remake of Burning Shrine, which is, again, it would be pretty awesome.
Definitely. Let me see. There's not too many more notes. How do you guys feel about the level cap going from 20 to 25 and then power going from 300 to 330?
I like that. I mean, it gives me progression. Again, I'm a big progression guy. Like, one of the reasons like I've kind of slowed down on making sure I do my weeklies is because in my PvP set and my PvE set, I'm 305 and perfectly aligned. Like I have, you know, 555 in my gear. Yeah, everything. And it's like, all right, so I'm done because there's nothing new to be doing. So now with, you know, you more gear to optimize, more power to acquire, like more tweaking and stuff, that's all good to me.
Yeah, that's how I feel also right now. I just feel like I'm done. Like I've completed every challenge that you could possibly throw at me. I made that crazy spreadsheet to chase weapons, but I'm just like, well, they're taking it all away anyway, and I have everything that I really wanted. So hopefully Osiris kind of addresses that. Somebody asked us on Twitter, Fran, I don't remember who it was, sorry.
Yeah.
But thank you for asking this question. Is Osiris make or break for Destiny 2?
Yeah.
Both of us kind of responded, no, but I wanted to extend that same question to CJ and Sean.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like if they mess this up, do you think it's going to really hurt the brand?
I mean, the brand, no. I think the brand is strong. I think it's a lot of people are playing it. A lot of people really like it. And I think that that won't change. But I do think that for the really hardcore players like us four at this table and millions of other people out there, if it doesn't establish a confidence in what the content is going to be like going forward, then you think a lot about what the long-term life of Destiny is going to be. And that's a confidence you want your hardcore base to have. So in that sense, it is make or break. Like you want to make sure your biggest fans feel like it's the content that is going to put you on the best foot going forward.
Yeah.
Yep.
You brought
it was. Thank you, Darth Devin, for writing in saying, do you think the Curse of Osiris could make or break it? My initial response, I just said no, but it will set the stage for years to come in terms of expectations.
Yeah.
Adjusting the core game itself is what's most important. Destin, you said if they don't figure out how to level off the decline in players with a great DLC, you think it'll have a negative impact.
Oh, yeah.
But not
totally.
Break it.
Yeah, I mean, people will always come back for the DLC, and then they're going to dive off. So you're going to see all these spikes in player base, right?
Yeah.
But how long can you retain off this content?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to be the big driving factor? And that's kind of scary because of static roles.
Yep.
Now, they have brought up some ways that they're going to be adjusting the mod system. Maybe that'll give us something to chase. Mm-hmm. There is no chase in this game. And I haven't quite put my finger on what's different about Destiny 1. Destiny 1, I was like invested.
Yeah.
I wanted to come back every day and I could constantly be advancing or working towards building my character somehow. And Destiny 2, I do not feel that at all. I'm 305. I'm whatever.
Yeah. A couple of quick things. One was when I said expectation, just to clarify what I meant by that was, you know, when Dark Below came out, that set a very clear expectation, and then it wasn't met. Like, we thought 3 months later, a raid, this new set of a bunch of new strikes, whatever, and then that just didn't happen.
It was House of Wolves, right?
And so, but even House of Wolves was like a Prisoner of Elders and that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until Taken King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a whole year, but after Dark Below. My point is, whatever they do in this one, whether it happens or not will define, I believe, our expectation. So if they come back with this amazing new drops, new exotics, new map, and a raid, like substantial stuff, I think we'll sit here and be like, I can't wait for Rasputin.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's not that, and it's some of the things we've been seeing where it's like talk of Iron Banner was reskinned stuff or whatever it is, they need to get away from that, I think, to gain the confidence of the audience. So.
Well, there's a bunch of quality of life things, I think, that are obviously going to be addressed on a weekly or biweekly or how often they do it. And so that is not tied to DLC. Mm-hmm. Some of those things need to happen like right away. And there's a big list that they came up with last week. Which
we'll talk about that in just a second.
Yeah, which I think was good. But no, overall, there's no indication of what size this is going to be. I mean, did you guys feel disappointed by Rise of Iron thinking, okay, this is going to be as big as Taken King or not when it came out?
I mean,
yeah, I like the raid, actually. I'm one
I mean, I really like the raid. I think people kind of, for me, Wrath of the Machine, I rank it really highly amongst the raids. But I did feel like the questing and the storyline, the main campaign, could have been more robust.
Well,
again, my golden standard is Taken King, right? Like something like a nice little 6-hour campaign or something that tells a really cool and unique, that's the most important part, unique story, something we haven't seen before. And then in addition to adding all of the new stuff that you like to chase in the long run.
Well,
But thinking like subclass wise too, like Taken King added like a new subclass. So it was a bunch of different things to do. Like I think it's too soon to the release of Destiny 2 to expect that kind of thing. I think it'll be more like a Rise of Iron kind of expansion.
Yeah, but you're paying almost half price. I mean,
that's
what I'm getting at. Like, what is the expectation? Dark Below had a raid. That is, it's what we all want.
Hold on. We're paying half price, but we're not also through
half,
the microtransactions
the way,
but
is it?
Eververse.
Do we know how much it is?
Content.
Yeah, it's It's wait. It's if you don't buy it in the expansion,
so it's
I think
like a third.
Isn't it $24.99 if you don't buy it in the expansion?
Okay.
It's about $20 to $25.
About a third of the game's full price.
Yeah, because $60 for the game. So
just give us a third of a game.
Yes, exaggerating a little, maybe not a half, but a third.
In that
so
area.
Like but, a 5-hour campaign.
but that's look. That's quantifying.
We're ordering like a buffet. Yeah.
That's quantifying on those terms. But I just want to put it in that perspective. I mean, that is really important. It's money well spent, and needs to be. But I was going to say, Taken King wasn't like flawless either, in the sense that like it didn't have the cutscenes that we wanted. The amount it had some, but like meaning, thankfully, Destiny 2 had a lot more of that. Now my expectation—that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. My expectation is I get another piece of that in the next one. I don't want to go all the way back to what we saw with Taken King, which I did really like Taken King, but meaning it still didn't have enough strikes and campaign elements for me.
But how many times have you played the campaign since? I mean, to me, it's like I want.
One? I'm tired of the campaign.
3 times.
Okay, so I mean, I like the campaign. That's good, but yeah, I would definitely like a focus on more strikes, more quest based type things, like you know, calcified fragments to you know exotic stuff like that.
Of course, but right. Are you saying you don't want a small campaign esque a piece of what you got in this? But I bought Osiris.
I mean,
the same way.
I do, but
what well, you're getting
pieces.
Right. Yeah. And even now, it's like we got it, and I've played through it 2 or 3 times. I'm like, okay. I can't play through it at will, and when I do have to level up, I'm like, okay, we all play through it once, and that's
my,
it.
No, my guess would be Osiris is going to be about as long as Rise of Iron was.
But I think the campaign, like, I'm not saying that the campaign needs to be there just for the campaign's sake, because, yeah, you only play the campaign once or twice, like, you know, depending on how many characters you have. But what I'm saying is, like, all of the quality of life stuff, the stuff that you that keeps Guardians playing long-term in Destiny after the fact,
right.
All that stuff needs to be tied to a story element. Otherwise, there's no reason really to do it. Like, there's no reason to collect calcified fragments for just, like, because you want to collect stuff.
No, right. The end game is the most important
for
thing.
Sure.
But it almost sounds – it's interesting to hear you talk about it, because to me it sounds like you liked the campaign, but the end game is so important. You almost don't care – if it's in there because you care about the end game so much.
In
that's
a
what
way.
I'm
yeah.
And all I'm saying is I expect all those things.
For sure.
So I don't expect a whole new campaign, mm-hmm. like a brand new Destiny 2, but I do expect a piece of it, a third of it. Then I expect some new strikes, some new adventures. I think I talked about that before. There's this formula now. Public events. All those elements I expect to sort of come in a third of, let's call it, you know, what we got with Destiny 2, plus the end game improvements we want to get done by.
So that's what I'm expecting. You expect Taken King size, though, versus Rise of Iron? Because right now,
no,
I think...
No, I mean, that's the thing.
No, Taken
I think
King was a full release.
Yeah, in my head, I think... No, I don't ever think we're going to get a Taken King-style release again.
Like 3 months after.
Yeah, you will next year. Yeah, next year. 27th or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see, right? I mean, I hope...
So, real quick, let's talk about some of the – you guys brought up a lot of quality of life issues. Mm-hmm. And we do know that they're addressing some of them. There's going to be new ways to purchase armor and gear or gear, they said, Fran, during the panel that only you saw.
Yes.
Yeah. So they are addressing some of those things. In this week's patch, they
and
also
announced –
that's
outside of Curse of Osiris, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you
so
get
just,
that.
Just standard core Destiny stuff. Faction rallies were adjusted. You get more tokens for doing things. I think it's dumb that they got rid of the Lost Sector farming. Just let me do that if that's how I want to play the game. I don't like it when they make changes because they're like, we don't want you to experience the game that way.
But you can still farm Lost
take
Sectors.
It away.
What do you mean?
You get 3 instead of 20.
But that's the incentive thing that
you mean
talking
all the
about,
destructibles
though.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. But did you like that? You said you didn't like it.
I like that I had an easy way to get the rewards because the reward system is broken right now.
I get that, but what I'm saying is I think what they're doing is the stuff that we've been talking about. They're incentivizing you to do other things that are fun.
If you're going to take away my way to circumvent your broken system, fix the system first and then take away my way to get
it. Right, but they are incentivizing you to get in a Strike or a Nightfall.
Yeah,
right,
by de-incentivizing you to do the thing that you were doing before.
Yeah.
Like,
but
fix the problem first. The problem is not that I found a way to
circumvent
the broken system.
I feel like
the broken system is the problem.
There's a fundamental misunderstanding about how Guardians who play Destiny all the time play the game, which is that like it's a min-maxing thing.
We look for cheese.
You're always trying to find the most effective and efficient way of doing things, and for a time in period in Destiny 1 that was shooting into a cave, right? Do you nerf the cave? No, you fix the game. But they nerf the game. They nerf the cave, right?
Nerf cave.
I don't know. I just don't think that that's the right way to address.
It's the same philosophy with their weapon balancing, right? They're like, oh, that thing's too powerful. Nerf it into oblivion,
right?
So, they're not doing that now, thankfully.
But okay. Yeah. In addition
to that.
Wait, really fast. We know you don't think the system's fixed, but do you like the changes? One thing they were addressing was, you know, I can't just do a matchmaking session to get in the Lost Sector. I can play it by myself and grind it out and cheat the game a bit, right?
That's
what they're trying to fight against. Do you like those things?
So the one positive thing about the Lost Sector is now that your group can get a reward.
Yeah.
So like you complete a Lost Sector and your group gets a reward, you're not competing. You don't have to go in solo. Nightfalls being increased are great. Strikes being increased are great. Why would you decrease heroic public events? Like you're already stingy with the token payout.
I think people were just farming them though.
Yeah.
You just said two of those things were great though. I heard that. Was that true?
It's good. I don't understand. I just don't understand.
I remember on the last show where you specifically were talking about this, where you're like, hey, wasn't Faction Rise great? I just shot into a loot or a, you know, Lost Sector cave all day.
Oh,
you know, you don't want to, yeah, you don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that but that's the only way to circumvent their broken loot drop system. They need to fix their loot drop system first before they fix the only way I found to circumvent it.
But my point is, this is kind of doing that. They're giving you greater rewards in Strike, greater rewards.
Unless I want to do public events.
Yeah, but that's the same thing. You have the ability to do how many public events like per every 5 minutes? You know, you can do a lot of them. So you still will probably do that. That might still be the most efficient.
Why decrease it? I don't understand the reason to decrease it.
No, they're driving you to other events.
Driving you to other events. They are driving me to other events.
And part of it was
by giving me more tokens for Nightfall. So I'll probably win the Nightfall.
Tokens that you use to get the same weapons you already have.
Yeah, by the way, like for me, I'm like,
I'm going to get 15 fusion rifles again from Future War Call.
I mean, look, I don't know how I feel about the changes yet, by the way. Like, I can, part of me was like, yeah, I honestly didn't like going in and out of loot caves Lost Sector. See?
Yeah.
I didn't like doing that all the time. I sort of can appreciate that now I can go to strikes, matchmake, and I really like the strikes.
Yeah, those rewards are better.
I think it's the right idea. But you know, what I find interesting, cause I am kind of a data guy and that's how I have to look at stuff at IGN and the videos and stuff, how stuff performs. I mean, I really think it's that simple. They got the spreadsheet, Guardians play. There's so many people up in Lost Sectors. Yeah. So what they did is they rebalanced that spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And now what they're going to see, hopefully, is it's going to spread out a bit. Yeah. And it really is as simple as that. I think at the core of it.
I'll totally run Nightfalls now.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't think it fixes though, you're right, the core. The problem
unless
is.
The Nightfalls are still broken.
Yeah.
And we still have like two different Nightfall systems that don't work.
That too, but to finish my point, I totally agree in the sense where it's like, well, I don't know that making me play this long strike feels rewarding enough at the end that will be fun. It might cause that problem where I'm like, wait, now I have to spend even more time.
Well, you are getting a ton of reward. Mm-hmm. So like the reason I think the strike thing is really good is because not only are you getting your Vanguard reward, but you're also getting Faction Rally rewards now, plus you're getting your blue drops if you're a lower level Guardian. There's a lot of incentive to do the strike method. There's a lot of incentive to do Nightfall. Like why wouldn't you do the Nightfall, assuming it's not one of the broken Nightfalls?
I also just wish that there was different ways of incentivizing people. Like I could get on board with doing strikes more often if the rewards for tokens were less, if those new strikes told me new story elements or something, or there was strike specific loot. That's the other thing they removed.
That's
it.
The strikes do tell you new story elements.
We've been saying it now for the last few weeks. The same thing.
Yeah.
And
mod system, because we don't know. They're talking about maybe refleshing that out. I mean, to me, that is the key with what's going to keep.
But refleshing it is a weird way to put it. Let's talk about the rewards. New monarchy rewards, sword sniper. Sidearm, hand cannon, scout with the sword being the premier weapon. Please go new monarchy this time.
Beautiful.
Future War Call, fusion, SMG, grenade, pulse, grenade launcher, pulse rifle, sidearm. Fusion is a premier reward. Grenade launcher is premier reward on dead orbit. Scout energy, scout, another scout, AR. Scout, energy scout, AR, SMG for dead orbit. And then, of course, 1,000 glimmer if your faction wins or 50,000 if it doesn't.
Guys, ready for that? Grenade launcher.
I can't hit anybody.
Dead orbit's gonna win.
No,
why? You know what? I think it's because you start your quest with that guy and you end it with that guy. So people thought they had to pledge to dead orbit. I hope they rotate it because it seemed like a mechanic that confused the player.
Loyalty.
I had to laugh a little bit though at the lineup. Dead orbit won last time.
Yeah.
Who gets the grenade launcher for the reward? I think they're really testing the system here of loyalty versus reward.
They are.
Nobody really wants that. Like, nobody wants the
dead orbit thing.
So that sword, They stack the deck. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it looks good.
I'm a Fusion fan, so I'm still attracted to the FWC for weapon reasons. But the other good news, though, is if you have tons of Glimmer, you can just stay loyal to whoever you want.
Yeah.
But I didn't have enough time to pledge multiple loyalties last time, and so short of it
is – if you have three characters, just run one of them to each of the factions that you want to pledge to.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're covered. You will spend 1,000 Glimmer to get the weapon.
That's true. You can at least pledge your loyalty.
I feel like we're little rats in just an experiment. I feel like they're just trying to go like, okay, let's entice them with this new monarchy.
It's a sword, man.
Swing them away.
Everybody wants it.
Yeah, that's really good.
A few of the other tweaks. I want to bring up the Crucible tweaks. So Trials is back. Also, on the fixes front, so Trials is back because they had to fix it. They took out that emote that was breaking everything. Fixes, fewer empty public spaces in Free Roam. Thank you.
Cool.
That was a pretty big issue. I encountered it on PC. I just spawned in like nobody's in the world.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm just going to reload. Mm. Mercy Rule in Crucible adjusted to happen later in the match. Survival is 2 minutes per round with 6 lives. It's reduced from 8 lives.
Thank you.
And 3 minutes. Supremacy now grants points for just defeating an enemy, plus the pickups, of course. Sounds a lot like Clash.
Yeah.
So those are all positive changes. I don't really understand how they adjusted the Mercy Rule quite, but yeah.
Yeah, it was weird because they said it'll happen later in the match, but they reduced the count that you had to get for kills. So the match is reduced, but anyway.
Yeah.
The problem is with a lot of these game types is, in general, they're really short. So Destiny 2 game matches are quick play. Yeah, well, so that's competitive, right? But anything that's in quick play is 8 minutes. A previous Destiny round used to be like 12. So you felt like you could come back. Now it's like you
feel
like
you're... Mercy rolls would trigger, though. If I had 5 points and they had 90, give them the round. You're just wasting my time.
For sure. And the problem is I think people are bouncing to another match before that's happening. So there's this definite weird situation.
They are
going
to figure out a way to punish people that bait.
Yeah, they did say that.
But only, I think, thankfully, in competitive.
I mean,
not in strike.
Yeah, I think that's fine. That, like, I do, you know, I do think that, like, it actually boggles my mind that this isn't in Destiny, but, like, every other major competitive shooter game, every competitive game, not even just shooters, has, like, unranked and ranked, and your penalties for leaving only apply to ranked.
We've talked about this.
Any name that you want to throw out
maybe
there?
What game, Sean?
Get the bell ready.
What could it possibly be?
We talked about this a little bit last week. Jake and I mentioned, you know, it's like, hey, Halo matchmaking was perfect. There's a few people.
There's CJ's
too.
I'll do it. There's a few people who are like, hey, man, you know, Halo matchmaking was good, but it's like we've evolved from what that was. And it was not perfect because it did spawn cheating and people trying to rank up to 50.
Halo 5 are you talking about?
No, that's different. Okay. We talked about Halo 2 and 3 being like a nice matchmaking rank system. I do. I jumped in because Trials was canceled. That's pretty good.
I actually saw that and I wanted to play with you.
I know.
I was busy that weekend.
I should have. But it is one of those things where, like rank matchmaking does have some negative sides to it. But again, have a, like you said, a non-competitive casual quick play and then a rank so people can choose what they want.
It's all a mindset thing. Like, you know, in unranked or in ranked, you don't want to have players leaving regardless, right?
Yeah.
But like, if the mindset is that if you join a ranked match and you are going to leave or you don't have the time or whatever, and you're going to sustain like a big penalty for that, you're not going to want to do that. It will de-incentivize people from leaving in the competitive mode, which is what it needs to be for competitive players.
Right. The Halo 2-3 thing that we were talking about was like the 1 to 50, which is, you know, again, I liked it for what it was at the time, but Halo 5 does like a seasons thing, right? Like,
honestly, I love the 1 to 50 thing as well, but it wouldn't work nowadays.
No, I don't think it would.
Now Halo has like a two-tier approach. You know, you can gain experience and level up, and that levels up you like basically infinitely. Like, I'm level like 145 or some right now. But then also, based on your skill, like your MMR, you're divided into divisions.
Silver,
and there's
gold,
6 divisions onyx, or 8 divisions or whatever. And that's actually really cool. It would be really cool. I mean, I said this many times before. Destiny competitive, that's what I want, is MMR. Like, I want a rating. I want, like, skill-based matchmaking where, like, if I'm, whatever, 2,500 rating.
To get the emblem you want, you have to grind for it. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Actually, well, it's funny. I was just about to say tiered emblems would be cool. So,
well, like, also something I really miss from Destiny 1, again, something that is in Destiny 1 that we don't have in Destiny 2, like lighthouse flawless ornaments for your gear.
Yes.
Like, you have an aura.
Yeah. Like, I love my big wings on my shoulders because people be like, oh, that dude's gone flawless. Like, now
– You don't – what'd you say you do like?
No, I do like it. Now it's like, if I go flawless in Trials, my stupid level – 10 clanmate can get the gear.
Yeah.
Just from
picking up that
picking
Engram.
It up the Engram.
So, yeah. Maybe if you didn't catch it at TwitchCon, they're adding ornaments.
It's the same
ornaments.
Gear as yeah. mine. You know?
They're adding ornaments to Iron Banner and Trials.
Which is fantastic.
So we don't know how you get them, but hopefully it's a little more exclusive and hard to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on everything we talked about today, whether it be Osiris or the PvP tips as we wrap up? Sean?
Overall, I'm just very excited to see Osiris come, and I really hope it is a substantial update because I've, you know, to be honest, and I think we've all kind of felt this, and Guardians out there who are really into the game have felt this.
Guardians out? What?
Yeah.
Not yet. Not yet.
A little too soon. Sorry.
Guardians in the world have felt a little like that the end game's a little lacking, and it's kind of losing their interest, or their interest is waning a little bit. And I personally, I don't want that to be the case. Like, Destiny 1 had great legs even when it was broken, and I want Destiny 2 to have the same thing. So I'm excited to see this expansion, and I really hope it, like, is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I've been playing a lot on PC. It's weird when I look at my PlayStation roster now and there's not that many people playing on it.
Doesn't run at 60, get out.
I know, it's tough. And I mean, as a PvP guy, 60 on PvP is a big difference. So I've been playing there lots and, yeah, you know, still wanting to do trials. I know you have the option, but for the people who don't, yeah, PvP is a very, you know, substantial change.
What if they launch Destiny 1 Classic at 60 frames on PC?
Give it to
coming with trials, with the old trials.
They have to be looking at that, like with the success of Destiny 2 on PC. They have to be like,
re-release. That'd be a big project, but it'd be fun.
Too soon.
It also did split the player base and all that.
No, it wouldn't split the player base. Everyone would just go back to Destiny 1.
It wouldn't be a split, maybe.
Friend?
I wanted to... That worked good. So on future shows,
great.
So we got
happening.
Anytime we mention Halo,
three bells today for the
World
times Halo was mentioned.
Oh,
there's two for World of Warcraft.
Boom.
Add that to the show.
Beautiful.
We're gonna keep track in
like
the future.
It.
Yeah,
nice. I like
see what
it.
We get to. So sorry,
that's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you excited for Osiris?
Damn, my phone's in.
I didn't reference anything.
I was gonna do a ding on it. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I mean, just like Osiris does seem cool. So. I'm excited on that front, but I want all those things that I was asking for. So, yeah.
And new ghosts. That was kind of neat. There was a bunch of new ghost design.
Oh,
we didn't really
like
talk about that.
Ghosts
and
stuff.
The rounded ghosts,
cool.
Osiris's ghost was kind of
I
love design. So.
I think they should be doing that stuff all the time. Just like cool new versions of stuff to collect. That's all
right. And they do have a ton of that coming. It won't fit in your vault, but.
Yeah.
Oh, don't
worry about that. I mean, they did say there's new inventory. By the way, they did map out. We should mention that their streams are coming up.
Oh, that's true. November 15th, November 21st, and 29th. Those are the dates. All at 11 a.m. Pacific. New stories to tell will be the first one. New ways to play, and then new gear to earn, and the new Crucible.
Yeah, and they also had in that subtext about new inventories was in there, but I don't know if that means the inventory of guns or a new inventory system like a vault.
We'll have to talk about that more around the 15th. That's all we have time for this episode. Thank you guys so much for joining us,
man.
Until next time, bring back kiosks and. Guardians out.
Add outro.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.